Having squeezed beneath the security gate, Robert Langdon now stood just inside the entrance to the Grand Gallery. On either side of the gallery, stark walls rose 30 feet. The reddish glow of the service lighting sifted upward, casting an unnatural smolder across a staggering collection of Da Vinci's, Titian's, and Caravaggio's that hung suspended from ceiling cables. As Langdon shifted his gaze from the paintings to the gallery's famous parquet floor, his eyes stopped short on an unexpected object just a few yards to his left, surrounded by police tape. He spun toward Fash.
"Is that a Caravaggio on the floor?"
Fash nodded, without even looking. The painting, Langdon guessed, was worth upward of $2 million, and yet it was lying on the floor like a discarded poster.
"What the devil is it doing on the floor?"
Fash glowered, clearly unmoved.
"This is a crime scene, Mr. Langdon. We have touched nothing. That canvas was pulled from the wall by the curator. It was how he activated the security system."
Langdon looked back at the gate, trying to picture what had happened.
"The curator was attacked in his office, fled into the Grand Gallery, and activated the security gate by pulling that painting from the wall. The gate fell immediately, sealing off all access. This is the only door in or out of this gallery."
Langdon felt confused. "So the curator actually captured his attacker inside the Grand Gallery?" Fash shook his head.
"The security gate separated Saunier from his attacker. The killer was locked out there in the hallway and shot Saunier through the gate. Saunier died in here alone."
"So where is his body?" Fash began to walk.
"As you probably know, the Grand Gallery is quite long."
After a while longer, Langdon asked, "Jacques Saunier went this far?"
"Mr. Saunier suffered a bullet wound to his stomach. He died very slowly, perhaps over 15 or 20 minutes. He was obviously a man of great personal strength."
Langdon turned, appalled. "Security took 15 minutes to get here?"
"Of course not. Louvre security responded immediately to the alarm and found the Grand Gallery sealed. Through the gate, they could hear someone moving around at the far end of the corridor, but they could not see who it was. They shouted, but they got no answer. Assuming it could only be a criminal, they followed protocol and called in the judicial police. We took up positions within 15 minutes. When we arrived, we raised the barricade enough to slip underneath, and I sent a dozen armed agents inside."
"And?"
"They found no one inside. Except,"
he pointed farther down the hall,
"him."
Langdon lifted his gaze and followed Fash's outstretched finger. 30 yards down the hall, a single spotlight on a portable pole stand shone down on the floor, creating a stark island of white light in the dark crimson gallery. In the center of the light, the corpse of the curator lay naked on the parquet floor.
"You saw the photograph," Fash said, "so this should be of no surprise."
Still, Langdon felt a deep chill as they approached the body. Before him was one of the strangest images he had ever seen. The pallid corpse of Jacques Saunier lay on the parquet floor exactly as it appeared in the photograph. As Langdon stood over the body and squinted in the harsh light, he reminded himself, to his amazement, that Saunier had spent his last minutes of life arranging his own body in this strange fashion. Saunier looked remarkably fit for a man of his years. He had stripped off every shred of clothing, placed it neatly on the floor, and laid down on his back in the center of the wide corridor, perfectly aligned with the long axis of the room. His arms and legs were sprawled outwards in a wide spread eagle, like those of a child making a snow angel, or, perhaps more appropriately, like a man being drawn and quartered by some invisible force. Just below Saunier's breastbone, a bloody smear marked the spot where the bullet had pierced his flesh. The wound had bled surprisingly little, leaving only a small pool of blackened blood. Saunier's left index finger was also bloody, apparently having been dipped into the wound to create the most unsettling aspect of his own macabre deathbed. Using his own blood as ink, and employing his own naked abdomen as a canvas, Saunière had drawn a simple symbol on his flesh, 5 straight lines that intersected to form a 5-pointed star. The pentacle.
Mr. Langdon?
It's a pentacle, Langdon offered, one of the oldest symbols on Earth, used over 4,000 years before Christ.
And what does it mean?
Symbols carry different meanings in different settings, Langdon said. Primarily, the pentacle is a pagan religious symbol. Fash nodded.
Devil worship.
No, Langdon clarified. The pentacle is a pre-Christian symbol that relates to nature worship. The ancients envisioned their world in 2 halves, masculine and feminine, and their gods and goddesses worked to keep a balance of power. The pentacle is representative of the female half of all things, a concept religious historians call the sacred feminine, or the divine goddess. Saunière, of all people, would know this. Fash looked more troubled now, as if he somehow preferred the idea of devil worship.
Interesting.
Fash nodded toward the spread eagle corpse.
And the use of his own blood as ink?
Obviously, he had nothing else to write with. Fash was silent a moment.
Actually, I believe he used blood so that the police would follow certain forensic procedures.
I'm sorry?
Look at his left hand.
Langdon circled the corpse and crouched down, noting with surprise that the curator was clutching a large felt-tipped marker.
Saunière was holding it when we found him,
Fash said.
As I told you, we have touched nothing. Are you familiar with this kind of pen?
Langdon knelt down farther to see the pen's label.
Stylo de lumière noire.
He glanced up in surprise. The black light pen, or watermark stylus, was a specialized felt-tipped marker originally designed by museums, restorers, and forgery police to place invisible marks on items. The stylus wrote in a non-corrosive alcohol-based fluorescent ink that was visible only under black light. As Langdon stood up, Fash apparently pulled some plugs and killed power to the DCPJ spotlights. The gallery plunged into sudden darkness. Momentarily blinded, Langdon felt a rising uncertainty. Fash's silhouette appeared, illuminated in bright purple. He approached carrying a portable light source, which shrouded him in a violet haze.
As you may know, Fash said, police use black light illumination to search crime scenes for blood and other forensic evidence. So you can imagine our surprise.
Abruptly, he pointed the light down at the corpse. Langdon's heart pounded as he took in the bizarre sight now glowing before him on the parquet floor. Scrawled in luminescent handwriting, the curator's final words glowed purple beside his corpse. Langdon read the message and murmured,
"What the hell does this mean?"
Fash's eyes shone white.
"That, monsieur, is precisely the question you are here to answer."